came about because I was really like feeling this intergenerational prejudice. You know, these kind of like murmured things about what the baby boomers are doing, what the millennials are like, always on their phones, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, gosh, like we're really kind of writing off different generations in different ways, or we have these big, broad assumptions about who we are.
We try to clean up a mess the baby boomers left us in.
Actually, there is a lot of variety in who we are in any generation. We've always got our radicals, we've always got our conservatives. And I think just that sense of sort of separating us is not helping us when there's such important work that we need to be doing, that we need to be connected on within the world. Things like my mum, you know, being a big part of the peace movement, sort of saying, look, I don't think people care anymore. It's like, oh, people do, but maybe they're on social media and you're not on social media, so you don't see that people care.
We came through the Great Depression with a vision of a society that looked after all its people. We fought a war against forces that threatened to destroy this way of life.
We tried, but very largely we failed. We let monetarism take over. We wanted something better, but allowed ourselves to be led astray.
So your idea as an arts practitioner is to get everyone to sing to each other about their prejudices, their hopes, their wishes. How did that idea come about?
I know as an artist that art has ways of allowing people to speak truths that we can't get at in a direct way. So if you maybe just ask people, what are your complaints about an older generation? Or they might not come forward and say it. But I think what happens in the process of singing them to each other is, one thing, people are singing it face to face. They're looking in each other's eyes. It's not happening through a text forum, on a digital forum. So having people live in the same space as each other is extremely powerful. There's a kind of therapy that's called gaze therapy, G-A-Z-E. And the idea is all you have to do is look at the person in the eyes when you say your complaint to them. And it means that you automatically soften what you're saying. Like, it's very hard to, when you see the humanity of the person opposite you, to say those things. So the idea is that, yeah, we bring people into one space. And also the singing actually allows you to even be more expressive. It's like the form of opera or something. Like, people can really let it out through these big notes, but there's a harmony and a beauty to it as well. So I think it allows us to express the truth in a graceful way, in a way that makes it easier to hear.
Take me through the process of Sing It To My Face. You were saying you first call for participants, and anyone of any age can participate in the show. Not now in Auckland. We can just buy tickets and watch this theatrical and choral experience. How does it start? You sign up and go, yep, I would like to sing. What am I signing in for?
Yeah, we start up both asking people to respond to our surveys, where they have to answer questions about themselves and about the other generations. So we deliberately ask people to generalise. And then we also invite people to come forward and sing and be part of the show. So you might answer a survey and not be singing in the show. You might be doing both, but all the surveys are anonymous, so we don't know who wrote what. From the survey, the first time when we surveyed, we then built that into songs, which Julian Raphael, who's a masterful community musician with a huge legacy in this country. So he composed the music, so put all of these words to beautiful songs. And then we also have quite a lot of spoken text in the show. So the songs don't change that much, except for there's one song that the first age, the under 30s, write themselves as part of the rehearsal process. But what changes every time is the spoken text. So sometimes during the rehearsal process, someone's like, I actually wrote that line, which is really nice for them to feel part of it in that way. And we also do change, like, I've changed some of the lyrics of the songs this time because the voice from the younger generation was just way stronger and needed to be changed. So we kind of update the songs as needed, and then we replace all of the spoken text with whatever's come forward from that community.
ocean. We strip the world's resources for our own wealth. Environmental issues are major for us. But many of us have our heads in the sand.
It's interesting you're doing two things here that are slightly confronting. One, getting people to say their criticisms and their pointed observations to one another's face. And also, how have you managed to help people overcome their fear of public singing in this production?
Well, there is a very strong community choir network that happens in pretty much more from a Pākehā world. So there are a lot of our singers actually come out of choirs, and I am always amazed at the number of choirs in any community that I'd never heard about. And of course, in Te Ao Māori, there is a huge culture and practice of waiata. So in a way, I do think we are a bit of a nation of singers, although I totally know what you mean about our shame and embarrassment, particularly as Pākehā, as stepping forward and
yes.
singing. I can really understand why some churches with more upbeat music are quite successful, because I think we as humans love to sing, we love to dance, and it's a shame that we are embarrassed about those things that we actually know are really good for us. However, I have noticed, my friend who works in Ministry of Social Development says they have a lot of singing in their workplace, and I've talked to more people who have said that singing is starting to happen every week within their workplace. So I think there is actually a real shift that's happening at the moment as people are realising it helps contribute to our well-being, very, you know, big word for us in New Zealand at the moment. We recognise that singing can be a big, important part of that. So it's less difficult than you might think.
What's some of the feedback from participants who've performed in previous Sing It To My Face? Well, what have people said, both from the audience and both as performers?
This is the most emotional show that I have ever, ever done. People are... there's a lot of tears at the end and during from the participants, from the audience as well, because you're seeing people singing to each other in a close, intimate space, and you're also watching your audience across the room respond. There's this real consciousness that we're all human, that we're all aging, that we all care about the world. It's a very powerful experience. And sometimes I forget because I'm the lights, the cues. I get these huge waves of emotion that come over me when I see people going through that and experiencing it. So in a way, it's one of the more earnest works that I have ever made, but I also love it for that, because actually, I mean, I know in New Zealand we get embarrassed to say things to each other's face, but it's extremely powerful to see people doing that in a room together. So it's a huge, it's very emotional. People are very grateful, and it gives me a huge warm buzz.
Wake up now!